You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, July 16, 2026. If you build it, will increased natural gas demand and new pipelines spur higher Northeast output? Published by Lisa Scheidler. Demand for natural gas in the Northeast regional market and pipeline capacity out of Appalachia are expected to grow in the coming years as more coal plants retire and more data centers come online. But will production necessarily follow suit? Even if market conditions improve, it's not a done deal. Operators in the region remain largely focused on capital discipline rather than chasing incremental volumes. In today's RBN blog, we'll look at which producers are best positioned to grow if conditions warrant. Today's blog is part of our broader Northeast Natural Gas series and marks a shift from pipelines and other infrastructure to producers and where growth might, or might not, show up. We've already taken an in-depth look at new pipeline capacity and the potential impact of new data centers on the Northeast gas market, but we can't promise a field of dreams outcome. Just because pipeline capacity is being added doesn't mean significant new production will automatically follow. On paper, added pipeline capacity and rising demand could support more output, but there's still plenty of market skepticism about whether producers will deviate from the current strategy to focus on growth. Appalachia has had several years of flat production growth, averaging around 33 to 36 BCF per day since 2020 for a number of reasons, with almost all their drilled wells in either northeastern Pennsylvania or the southwestern Pennsylvania/northern West Virginia/eastern Ohio area. Capital discipline has been the dominant theme, as most producers have prioritized investor demands for free cash flow over growth for its own sake. One of the biggest requirements for higher production is a long-term price signal, rather than a brief spike during winter or a weekend storm. Producers in Appalachia focus on the prices they actually receive, like Dominion and other localized basin benchmarks, not just Henry Hub. When the long-dated Henry Hub curve sits at its current range of $3.50 to $3.60 per million BTU, many producers are not interested in growing, but a sustained move above $4 per million BTU for at least a year could start to change that, depending on the operator. Another major factor is takeaway and supporting infrastructure, which limits the region's growth potential. Parts of Appalachia still lack the basic pipes and facilities needed to move and treat gas, and producers also need processing plants, water disposal, and other services in place. For now, many companies have chosen to focus on strengthening balance sheets, paying down debt, and returning cash to shareholders through dividends and buybacks instead of chasing production growth. If circumstances in the region's gas market change, most of the increased volumes are likely to come from today's top producers, as smaller producers are unlikely to have much of an impact on the overall market even with an aggressive growth strategy. In this discussion, we are focused on E&Ps that already produce at least 1 BCF per day in Appalachia, starting with the biggest, EQT Corporation. EQT Corporation, a giant Appalachia-focused gas producer based in Pittsburgh, could really move the needle on regional production if it chose to focus on growth. EQT is producing around 6.4 BCF per day across Appalachia, with around 4.3 BCF per day from Marcellus Wells in southwestern Pennsylvania. It has a large position in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio, along with ample drilling inventory and meaningful midstream access, so even a small percentage increase in its output would translate into big volumes on the ground. For now, though, EQT is not signaling a push for massive growth. In its Q1 2026 earnings call, the company emphasized capital discipline, returns, and making the most of existing assets rather than ramping up volumes just because new demand or pipeline projects appear. Expand Energy, with corporate offices in Houston and Oklahoma City, has the scale and capacity to grow, but there are real questions about whether it would choose to grow significantly in the Northeast, where it is already producing around 6.3 BCF per day gross. Its operations span major positions in both Appalachia and the Haynesville, and recent guidance calls for 2026 production of roughly 7.5 BAC/D net on a capital program of about $2.85 billion. For now, it appears Expand is more likely to lean into growth in the Haynesville and treat its Northeast Marcellus and Utica assets as a cash cow rather than an engine for new drilling. But in its Q1 2026 earnings, Chairman Michael Viktorek said, "Our Appalachia assets sit at the core of AI power demand. That, of course, can come from the Northeast, so more gas will have to come from Appalachia." Range Resources Corporation, based in Fort Worth, Texas, is a clear exception among Appalachian gas producers because it has a stated multi-year growth plan. Company guidance and recent earnings show Range is roughly halfway through a three-year program that will boost production from about 2.2 BF/D in 2025 toward 2.6 BF/D by 2027, with 2026 volumes guided at roughly 2.35 to 2.4 BF/D. That makes Range the one larger public name in the basin with explicit, extended growth ambitions. In its Q1 2026 earnings call, CEO Dennis Degner said, Range is off to a great start in 2026, showing steady progress executing the multi-year disciplined growth plan we announced last year. Houston-based Devon Energy produces about 2 BCF per day from Marcellus assets it acquired via the Coterra Energy merger earlier this year. Those assets have reportedly attracted an approximately $8 billion bid from Stone Ridge Asset Management and are now widely discussed as a potential divestiture candidate, though Devon has not yet committed to a sale. The asset does not appear to be a natural fit with Devon's portfolio. It has been flat for many years and has struggled to consistently compete for capital in predecessor Coterra's portfolio and is likely to face the same challenges in the combined Devon portfolio. Antero Resources, headquartered in Denver, produces roughly 4.0 to 4.1 BA/D, with natural gas accounting for well over half of that volume. Antero's HG Energy acquisition, which was announced in December 2025 and closed in February, added roughly 385,000 net acres and more than 400 high royalty locations to its Appalachian portfolio. Much of the acreage acquired from HG consists of many sections without existing horizontals, leaving the viability of incremental inventory more unproven. CNX Resources, based in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania, is a relatively smaller producer with a deep Marcellus and Utica inventory, though it doesn't reach the point of its larger peers. Aggressive production growth does not appear to fit its current strategy. In recent years, the company has mostly maintained flat output, following a disciplined model of drilling roughly 30 wells per year. CNX is producing about 1.7 BA/D overall and around about 1.57 BCF per day of gas in Appalachia. The E&P controls approximately 9.7 CFE of proved reserves and more than 1 million net acres across its Appalachia gas plays, providing decades of development runway. On CNX's Q1 2026 earnings call, CEO Alan Shepard said the company certainly sees the same sort of long-term optimism on the demand side and described some recently announced power and data center projects as mind-boggling. He noted that the scale of anticipated in-basin gas demand is going to need to be sourced by multiple producers. Seneca Resources Company is more of a smaller but interesting name than a basin shaker. If Seneca chose to grow, it would be adding far less absolute volumes into the market than the larger players. Seneca is producing on the order of 1 to 1.25 BCF per day in Appalachia. The Houston-based company holds a good chunk of remaining inventory in central Pennsylvania, but that inventory sits in an area that still lacks the gathering, processing, and other infrastructure that make it easy to convert locations into production. Seneca is owned by National Fuel Gas Company, which has also signaled it prefers stable returns and low volatility cash flows over ramping up drilling. That suggests Seneca is more likely to be a steady contributor rather than a massive driver of new growth. Ascent Resources, a privately held producer headquartered in Oklahoma City, is focused on the Ohio Utica and is currently expected to average 2.1 to 2.2 BA/D this year. Gulfport Energy, also based in Oklahoma City, is another Utica-based company in Appalachia and the Anadarko Basins, but its Appalachia volumes are also well below those of EQT and Expand. We don't see either firm making massive organic growth moves, but we're definitely watching them both. The picture that emerges is one of an Appalachian gas sector with plenty of capacity for growth, but a preference for discipline and stability. Most large producers have deep, high-quality inventories and could add significant volume if prices, pipes, and in-basin demand all line up, yet their current strategies emphasize balance sheet strength, shareholder returns, and careful pacing over aggressive expansion. If You Build It was written by Dave Monroe and appears as the second song on Air Traffic Controller's second studio album, Nordo. The song references the famous line from the movie Field of Dreams and explores themes of community, ambition, and expanding your reach. Personnel on the record were Dave Monroe, lead vocal, guitar, Casey Sullivan, bass, banjo, viola, co-lead vocals, Steve Scott, keyboards, backing vocals, and Adam Salome, drums. Nordo was recorded in early 2012 at iStation Zebra in Medford, Massachusetts, with Blue, William James McCauley III, producing. Nordo stands for No Radio, referring to an aircraft that has lost two-way communication. The album was released on the band's indie label, Sugar Pop Records, in June 2012. Air Traffic Controller is an American indie power pop band formed in Boston in 2009 by lead singer, songwriter, and musician Dave Monroe. Monroe had previously served in the U.S. Navy as an air traffic controller, hence the name of the band. They have released 5 studio albums and 5 singles. They have won 4 independent music awards. 7 members have been involved with the band since their formation. The band will be appearing at various Boston area venues in July and August.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.